Hello.
Hi. Hey there. Yes. Well, you did just invite them. Yes. Come on over to the trickstertraining.com website and cavort. Yes, we will be putting up different themes, I think, in which we can all play and profit on profit, profhet. But certainly the realm of etymological word magic is one, because there's so many great things. I learned today, because I have the etymology day of the week, word hoard. Word hoard comes from the 16th century, actually, and it means a stash of words, and we go, okay, we like that. So etymology, word magic, animal allies, flora and fauna, remembering that part of our dedication is the possibility that what's a unique opportunity and responsibility, we're getting our Jupiter-Saturn themes down, of being a human, is our capacity to borrow qualities of intelligence from plants and animals. So anyway, so I think we'll be setting that up too, so you can go, yes, animal and the quality of leadership from wolves, or the quality of plucky curiosity from foxes, or the ingenuity of trees to protect themselves by something, yeah, all that.
Excellent. I'm going to mute myself because I think there's an echo on my line, thank you very much.
Oh, yes. Bless you. Yes, it is great to have teammates, rotational redemption. Does anybody want to say, yes, exactly, clear throats, all that. Anybody want to say hi? Anybody want to say hi? Or
Hi.
Hi. Thank you. Who's
sorry,
that?
Evangeline.
I'm sorry, who?
And Evangeline, Minnesota.
Yay, Evangeline, you of the blessings. And I did, I still have your Santa Claus washcloth towel up. Oh, okay, much laughing in a remote way.
Chris says hi.
Chris, where?
San Francisco.
Yes, of course you are. There you are. That's great.
Jessica from Santa Fe.
Yes, you are. That's so wonderful. I love you in Santa Fe. That's great. And also, anybody wanted, you know, how are you feeling? What's up? Anything like that we can address? We do want to put some things on our magnetizing metaphor into matter mojo altar. There's things before us on a collective level that we'll play with, but also on a personal level, we can also set that up on our Trickster training site. Yes, anybody else want to before we formally begin? Yes, possibly.
McCarty in L.A.
Yay, McCarty in L.A. Excellent. Yes, and I hope people got to see, those who are on Facebook, the incredible articles about the dung beetles navigating by sun, moon, stars, and Milky Way. And the dung beetles, well, we'll bring them in because that's definitely, we want to draw inspiration from them because they move backwards. We're going to take a little tour of the zodiac. And sometimes it's good to move backwards, downwards, upwards, all those things. But the dung beetles, they get their little important ball of dung. They roll it into a ball and then they move it backwards. And when they lose their direction, they're navigating by the Milky Way and the stars, mostly at night, ingenious. When they lose their direction, they get on top of their dung ball and they do a little dance, and dancing reorients them to their path. I love that. Anyway, so there's that. So McCarty in LA, excellent. Any other teammates? Well, all right then. As you know, you can chime in at any point. by hitting *7 to unmute yourself and chime in. You can also send emails. That's right, we have some already. How exciting. Alrighty, so we're descending and arising simultaneously, but we are approaching midwinter. So as we gather our wits and our focus and our dedication, I think we'll start off Maestro Grand Wazir Richard with our Yaji Vejna.
Весна, где бывала весна, где бывала. В лесе зимовала, в лесе зимовала. Что ты там робила? Город городила, город городила. Садила красочки, садила.
Well, I love that someone sent me so long ago. I don't know who, I don't know what it means, but it's haunting and perfect as we enter, gather our wits and our goats, our little Saturn beings. For positive winter mojo, the beauty of this time. So part of the great language, the sky earth story that we get to cavort with, we know, you know, each moment awaits our dedication to animate the desirable while also honoring, you know, what can happen if we don't. But primarily we do honor the shadow. We look into the dark. but there we go. So there's so much. We continue our Saturn theme, and I'll say these things astrologically, of course, but then translate them so we can feel them in our lives and our bodies and, you know, tease it into, you know, all manner of things. And, did get email already from our ally Linda in Tempe saying that she's reading Mary's Mosaic and enjoying the journey to more truth. You know, thank you so much, Caroline. Well, thank you, Agent Ally Linda Larkin, beautiful euphonic name. That is a good book. We do want to journey into the dark to find the truth. Journeying is a theme. So right now as we speak, I mean, we are approaching midwinter, which will be, you know, it's rounded off to February 2nd, but it's all around then. It's when the sun arrives at 15 degrees of Aquarius, the fixed signs, and that will be... I'm consulting here. That will be around the 4th of February. So we know these are the cross-quarter holidays of Candlemas midwinter and May Day mid-spring and Lammas midsummer and Halloween. So the four gates of power going, ooh. So I gave a talk a million years ago at Brown University called How to Apply for a Visa to the Underworld, Persephone's Journey and the Task of the Artist as Keeper of Collective Soul. And it was a pretty darn good talk. I'll see what I can remember of it and even possibly excavate from the archives for posting during this week. Yes, promises, but I think I can do it. But it is rotational redemption. I love the picture that our agent ally Tara found. I was like, I know there's a picture of, Beatrice, Persephone lighting a candle and beginning her journey upwards, and looks that she's got a companion, because we do all do rotational redemption. Sometimes we're Inanna, sometimes we're Inanna's Sukal, companion. We do rotate, you know, in the underworld. Oh, we need help to get out. You know, thank you very much. Now I'll be your Sukal, all of that. So as we gather our Saturn, our focus, Saturn again will lead us in. Language grants us access to the realm it describes. If we can speak of it, we can journey there. So Jupiter is at its stationing degree. It is retrograde, which is inward. The journey is inward. It stations on the 30th of January and then goes, which is this week. This whole week is a Jupiter stationing time. So And then it goes forward, outward. So everybody I've been reading, astrology reading for, we go, we're convening the council of that person, we're convening the council of each one of us now, at this time just with the full moon Leo Aquarius behind us, going, ooh, Saturday night's full moon, ooh. And this week, again, Jupiter stationing, moving slowly, slowly, presiding over the sky. It's directly overhead in the East Coast now. You know, it rises before sunset and then really rules, reigns visibly over the whole nighttime sky. So Jupiter inward to outward, these transitions, which many cultures, you know, transitions like inward to outward, birth, death, appearing, disappearing, on stage, backstage. These are moments that people would honor because they're tricky but important. So part of the dynamic for all of us as we convene, it's this great Jupiter, okay, opportunity to craft a story for ourselves, for even our adorable team here, and then also for world. What would we craft inwardly that we would like to pour forth out into the molecular world, going, there we go. So that's, we want to come back to that, you know, and come back to Jupiter. But at the same time, part of what's beautiful, again, this inward, outward, you know, descending, ascending, simultaneous quality. So Jupiter's getting ready to go forward, and Saturn's at its stationing degree right now, 11 Scorpio, which is the Renaissance court degree. We are dedicated to the Renaissance. That's great. Oh, many people chiming in. Hello, hello, Novato. Hello, everybody. Hello again, Santa Fe. Yes, wonderful, all of our team. So Saturn stationing to go retrograde, moving very, very slowly. Saturn's visible in the morning, very early before dawn, in Scorpio. And it will retrograde February 19th, but it's going to stay at that degree, 11 plus Scorpio for a long time, Renaissance. Jupiter's degree as it stations is the oasis, the restoration of the waters of life. Maybe we be replenished now with all that we need in order to be, you know, agents of story. Now, you know, as we're kind of crafting our language, Jupiter in Gemini, in sort of old fogey astrology, because Jupiter rules Sagittarius, the opposite sign of Gemini, the old guys would say, oh, well, Jupiter's in its, you know, in its fall. And so we go, I don't really go with that. Jupiter, largeness, story. In Gemini, many, many things, conversations. It reminds us that, you know, to take big things and wisdom and move them into conversational vernacular, but that big things, big stories can come to us in myriad conversational ways. You know, that we live in a conversing, with verse turning. We're all turning together, us and the dung beetles and the stars and the coyotes and the cabbages and the everything, all moving to the same end, all made of the same thing. Oh, there we go. So this realm of conversing, we know, and so Jupiter in Gemini, Mercury's sign, and then we say, well, what's rising in the east right now, and in our chart on the East Coast, is the moon in Virgo, Mercury's other sign, coming to square Jupiter. So the moon in Virgo is called the witch's moon. You know, the moon is in one sign for about 2.5 days, but everything is important. Moon in Virgo, the witch's moon, the writer's moon, the realm of specificity and ritual magic. So right now it's, you know, squared. Remember, squares are 90-degree angles that encourage us to get illusorily estranged or conflicting qualities to dance together in us, but also in the world. So, you know, in a person's chart, and in a sense this chart is for all of us now, Jupiter go, I want to do so many things perfectly. So it's time sharing in the psyche, and we go, right, there can be a kind of perfection to the crafting that small things, Virgo, Moon in Virgo is micro, 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 small things can tell big stories. And one of the things that's come up in many people's readings, and it's just up, something I just carry in my pocket. We have our little magic backpack full of our magic mirror, you know, the mirror, the window, the door, we keep practicing that, but also like little pebbles that remind us of crucial little magic mojos that remind us of small things, small changes can have a big effect. So I love to bring in from the Initiate Brother over and over again, but here it is, we get to practice these things. This wonderful Virgo micro moment when overwhelmed, like, oh, so there's a great character in that novel, and the novel is about how to maintain tranquility of purpose when in the realm of evil, roiling, collapsing empire. So there's a great leader there, and everything's going wrong, overwhelmed. We can look at many things that are overwhelming in the world. And sitting in his garden, lives are at stake, doesn't know who to trust, doesn't, you know, no reliable narrators. And even the stream in his garden sounds off. So here comes part of our mojo for now. What he does is he reaches into the stream, and we can all kind of do this in our mind's eye, and I'm even moving my hand to do that, and he picks up one small stone, and he carefully replaces it in the stream, and the stream has its melodious voice restored, and his mind clears, and he sees who to trust, who not to trust, and how to save the world. Anyway, it's a great little micro moment that we want to, okay, just sort of put that in a little pebble right now in your hands and then put it in your pocket to be able to pull out at any time going, in moments of overwhelm, just move one small thing, one small stone, you know, not any stone, you know, it's the stone that wants to be moved. You know, the one small restoration of order can have huge effect. You know, however we want to think about that, the daunting pile of this or that going, just move one thing. There we go. You know, and the resistance to the one thing. Just move one thing. Okay, there we go. So the Moon in Virgo squares Jupiter. Jupiter squares Neptune. Okay, big dreams. We can play with that. But we can also see, you know, the shadow out there in the world. It's also big delusions. Was hearing somebody analyze Paul Ryan's budget plan of balancing the budget in 10 years, and they were like, well, it's just vast vagueness. We go, everybody's speaking astrology, you know, because vast, Jupiter's big, Neptune, dreams, vision, illusion, and also delusion. So vast vagueness. So we love that. And Laura Morrison says, Mariel Hemingway's story depicted in Running Away from Crazy is microcosm of larger cultural dysfunction being transformed. Okay. Feel free to say more, or chime in more, or write more about that. But yes, we can see everything everywhere. we're tracking patterns. We are pattern tracking beings. Those of us who might be watching television, I know our team is so pure that many people don't even have TVs, so on occasion I watch television for all of us, but out there in the public dream world, because see, there's very little, the membranes are thin at these, especially at these four gates of power, this midwinter kind of time, these mutable squares, you know, the dream world and the collective world, everything reflecting and speaking to us. So there's themes, whether it's Downton Abbey or Homeland, you know, there's a stalwart woman in love with a rapscallion crazy guy who's accused, falsely accused of bad things. We go, it's a theme. It's a theme out there. And we go, huh. It's kind of like the Mary Meyer JFK theme in some ways, the strictly plutonic relationships. And we just go, okay, they're working their way through. We would love more on purposeness. We would certainly love more wisdom and reflection in, out there in popular culture. But there we have it. So serendipitous, from the Persian fairy tale of the land of serendipitous synchronicity in the ecstatic realms. So I invite and magnetizing mojo us to play with something I found, I'm increasingly finding so liberating. This is the realm of etymological word magic again, in which we know that words, when we look them up, it's like going backwards, Jupiter retrograde in Gemini, going backwards to look up words, Gemini, reveals Jupiter, a big story that can be quite liberating. Jupiter sextiles Uranus right now. So I'm crazy about the word ecstatic, having learned that ex means outside and stasis means stand. It means to stand outside. So it is just such a liberating reframe, and I do invite us all to practice this, that whenever one is feeling dissed or waifish or excluded or outside, you just go, that's because I'm ecstatic. Didn't treat me very well, or those people, this or that, and we go, that's because we have an ecstatic relationship to that event. It's just, I gave a little mini talk at a women's full moon gathering that was adorable and extremely cute and humble. But I put this out to the team there too on the full moon, going ecstatic, we reframe. So it's not, oh, whaley waifishness. No, it's ecstatic. It's like the reframe also of, is a nice pagan saying or truism that our physical scars are where power enters our body. We go, oh, good move, excellent. Because just as there's big delusions out there available, there's also big opportunities for Neptune dreams, vision, water reflects a reverse image, going, we're reversing things. Outsider, ecstatic. So we do love to play with that. So serendipitous synchronicity in the ecstatic realms, how do we become increasingly available? So a little tour of the zodiac and a convening of all the parts of us who are present and available for animation. So Uranus, trickster, is the one planet we have now in fire. Each sign of the zodiac, fire, earth, air, water. So we have one fire, three earth, four air, two water. So it's an earth-air, a kind of dry time, a kind of cool time. The one fire planet is Uranus. Again, innovation, trickster. It is the same degree as little asteroid Pallas Athena, prismatic perspective. And we learned from part of our team last semester-ish, because we go backwards with creative suspicion to liberate the larger redemptive story in language and stories and myths and everything. The myth of Athena is that she had no mother. She was born, full born from Zeus's brow, from his Ares head. And then one of our team researched and found out that, Pallas Athena, she does have a mother. Her mother is Metis, creative genius. And her mother, Metis, creative genius, and we want to add her to our team, Metis, creative genius, Metis is hiding inside Zeus's head. It's a kind of, counter ecstasy. It's to stand outside, to stand way inside, kind of the same thing. So this is very animated now. Again, we say some things are always true, but there's times when they are truer. So for those who like to look at the chart, that's good. And if not, here we go. So Uranus is at 5 degrees of Aries. Pallas Athena, is it 5 degrees of Aries? Aries is the head, part of the body. Each sign of the zodiac is associated with a different part of the body. So it's the one fiery place, our heads. And there is Pallas Athena in Aries. And she's with her mother, in a sense, Uranus, genius, creative genius. So we go, ooh, this is a fresh allying. There's a 60-degree angle from Uranus and Pallas. Again, prismatic perspective, experiment, make ourselves receptive to genius. Where would we all like a kind of illumination or breakthrough of some kind? And where would we like to be an agent of that, in the community, in the Aquarian community that we're all a part of? It wants to happen. And that particular degree of the zodiac, which is 5 plus Aries, is its image is a square. The metaphor with that degree of the zodiac is a square with one side brightly illumined, allowing oneself to get fired up. Life is a choice between the most energizing alternatives, being at the cutting edge, bright emphasis, overcoming throttled energies, emerging from any boxes or categories. We go, okay, we love that, we love that. So we begin, you know, just a little tour of the, a little fast tour of the zodiac. The zodiac, the circle, is really a description of how energy moves. So we'll begin, even though we're in midwinter for the moment, just with our fire guy, our Aries guy. Aries, we initiate, you know, so we like that. When I swim, I did just get back from swimming, I swim zodiac, so I swim like an Aries and think of Aries, and then I swim like a Taurus, and then I swim. But it's useful. So Aries, like initiate, Taurus, pleasure, consolidate. The south node of the moon is in Taurus right now, the southern point where the moon crosses the sun's path. It's where we're pushing off from. But it's a deep capacity for pleasure. And as we kind of rotate around, we go, midwinter, it's these seasons. We're going to come to the seasons living within us, you know, more steady than the instability of the seasons. Our species have begun to rock and roll. And it may be that to honor seasons within allows us to be agents of balance. Now, there we go. As Nora Hall says, deliberate celebration, you know, of the change of season and the moment qualities and moments of time stirs the creative powers of the psyche. And so Taurus says, you know, deep pleasure. And as we come into play, you know, we go, well, when it's cold, and I know many of us are living in warm places, but not here in the East Coast, but whenever we feel, you know, a little too, it's the art of balance, bringing things into balance. All of this language says, you know, there are energies that we call planets, that we call signs of the zodiac, that we can track through everything. So to heat things up, you know, if we're feeling cold or lacking in energy of some kind, we go red pepper, cinnamon, cloves, spices, ginger tea. You know, these are Jupiter and Aries qualities that move kind of cold, you know, inert quality that can sometimes be part of Saturn. We go, okay, so experiment. There's such a plethora. So Aries to Taurus to Gemini, and there overhead is Jupiter in Gemini, and it is right next to another little asteroid, Vesta. The keeper of the hearth, the story is the hearth. We are all keepers at the story hearth. What is the desirable story? Jupiter's degree is, again, the oasis, you know, replenishing. And it's thought that, you know, my teammates who specialize in the asteroids, that wherever Vesta is where one is divested of the, or, you know, divested, denied, delayed, the ordinary expression of whatever, wherever it is there, while it is cooked in the flame and really purified in this realm of dedication. So it says, conversing, the power of words, they really do want to be dedicated. No such thing, it says, as casual conversation, really. There's playful conversation, but it all has potent mojo to it. And then I'm going to say this because it's cool. So there's Uranus the trickster in Aries. It's got a 60 degree angle to Jupiter on one side and a 60 degree angle to the sun on the other side. And then Jupiter and Uranus have a 120 degree angle between them. So we go, all right, so we have strategy. We have genius. Remember, Terry Pratchett says genius is sleeting through the universe until it hits a receptive molecule. Einstein, Shakespeare, Emma Goldman, whatever. Pick your favorite geniuses, your genies. Some people think like the quality of possession in a kind of negative way, but also the quality of inspiration is sometimes a perceived as a to and fro, inward and outward dynamic of, you know, of consequent mystery. And we go, ooh, it's available. Jupiter and Uranus are the two biggest path openers. So they are in 60-degree angle, creative cahoots. Now, Jupiter, it says, well, luck, we remember that the scientific study of luck said that luck increases to the degree that we run on the fuel of curiosity and generosity, and also a kind of serendipitous journeying and playfulness as well. Now, the Sun squares Saturn right now, so we can all feel up etched against our blocks or our inertia or our coldness, but that's why we say, you know, well, Persephone lights her candle and begins her ascent back into the upper world, and we with her. We say Jupiter is stationing at midwinter's depth. You know, Jupiter, god of theater and storytelling, create ritual theater or live melancholic melodrama, cake or death. Take your pick. And we go, oh, yes, you know, cake. You know, both Jupiter and Saturn at their stationing degree. Now, see, the downside, okay, would be, which we honor, of course, you know, exhaustion and overwhelm would be the sort of default setting of unworked Jupiter-Saturn going, wired and tired, exhausted, overwhelmed, you know, and we go, well, find and replace any variation of those themes with dedication magnetizes opportunity. And we go, there we go. And it also unfurls and illumines the path. You know, it is a subdivision of slow down to speed up in the land of serendip. So we do want to honor that. But wherever one feels stymied, and this is, again, part of the dynamic, you know, in our own charts and by the transits and then this collective chart transit that we're all working with here. There we go. I see. Okay, that's right. Okay. Message is coming in. That's right. Message is coming in, and also from, yes, other extraneous people. Not on this call, but bless their hearts. So you know, we remember we're saying something's always true, but it's always good to say, you know, what are we dedicated to, each one of us? You know, and the power of story. So just to continue around the zodiac, so we have Aries, the genius, South Node in Taurus saying, always remember, you know, we depart from the realm of pleasure, excellent, power of conversation and language and story, Jupiter in Gemini, dedicated. And then just to the left overhead, is Ceres Demeter, such a large asteroid that she has been promoted to a dwarf planet in Gemini. So we might say, well, perhaps we might put on our altar of desirable manifestation, our Vesta, that we are dedicated to being voices for the Earth. Each one of us in our own customized way, everything is a clue. You know, we keep coming back to Saturn in Scorpio, deep. Saturn in Scorpio in mutual reception with Pluto. Saturn's in Scorpio, Pluto's sign. Pluto's in Capricorn, Saturn's sign. They're at a 60-degree angle as well. There's opportunities abounding when we hit something. There's nothing that cannot be changed. It's as though everything is really rooting for us, saying, yes, acknowledge what is difficult in our own lives, what is stymied, what could be better, and also in the world. And much coming down the track, you know, Dementors are busy at work, you know, relentless energy, apparently. But we, you know, if we ally etiquette, if we treat each other well, if we ally with the forces of, you know, nature and goodness and the qualities of plants and animals, then much opportunity is available while still feeling just the right amount of dire beauty incentive. Not too, you know, it's like Goldilocks, not too much so that we drown in futility or get caught up in hot reactions. So it's a great opportunity now for designing. So there's Ceres overhead, and in Gemini, and then we don't have any planets in Cancer, but we just go, we like Cancer, that's good, you know, home, all creatures deserve to feel safe. And then we get to Leo, creativity, the full moon there, you know, in Leo, the full moon was at 7 Leo, yes, which, yes, one of our allies reminds us that, yes, the full moon exactly on our ally Marianne's Pluto in the 11th house, and many cool things, yes. So that 7 plus Leo, for those of us who were on the call in the summer, possibly summer, I remember vividly doing a whole theme on 7 plus Leo, which was this full moon, but it figures prominently in the charts of powerful women, both fictional and historic. It is Malala, the young woman, extraordinary, went to the brink of death and is now recovering woman in Pakistan, planets at 7 Leo. Gabby Gifford, planets at 7 Leo. Again, they've come to the brink and they've returned. Lisbeth Salander, a fictional character, but with a birthday given to her, a girl with a dragon tattoo. Now, all three of those women, I mean, they have planets at 7 plus Leo, which is about powerful activists, you know, bringing community alive, you know, being powerful voice. I should also say, in the dark, trippy realm, it is also George W. Bush's ascendant is 7 plus Leo, and you go, oh, you were charismatic, but you didn't use it for good, you rascal. But in the women's charts, you know, and I do think in the morphic resonant field, you know, fiction, myth, metaphor, actuality, heritage, all related, I do feel that because, what is it, 16 million people have read The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo books, and so they were deeply, intimately, narratively evolved with the fictional character Lisbeth Salander, who recovered from a gunshot wound to the head. And I do feel that in the Rupert Sheldrake realm of, you know, what he delineates as morphic resonance, the stories that we set in motion, and this is, I want to underline this thing, you know, are good blessings for everyone in related circumstance. Need not be as dire as being on the brink of death attacked, although many in the world are, but the way back, the journey back. And this to and fro, which is such a theme right now, you know, Jupiter getting ready to go forward, Saturn getting ready to go backwards, you know, the, you know, Persephone getting ready to emerge from the underworld, Venus getting ready to go down to the underworld as we get into February 16th. There's a lot going on mid-February. It's also witty, I think, that Obama's State of the Union address is the same night as Mardi Gras, possibly causing many people to, you know, go to Mardi Gras. But we go, oh, Mardi Gras, let's see High John the Conqueror standing behind him. Let's have the State of the Union be Mardi Gras-ish. Let's have Mardi Gras be State of the Union-ish, you know, and see, we can encourage what wants to happen anyway, this mythic play to and fro going, the Mardi Gras State of the New Orleans State of the Union address, excellent, we'll go for that. So forward, backwards, inward, outward. But so the full moon was right at that degree, which reminds us of that. But it reminds us of our, again, responsibility, Saturn, opportunity, Jupiter. They are very related. We have a responsibility which comes with an opportunity. How wonderful is that? And each opportunity comes with a responsibility. That might be always be true, but it's very happening now. And it's, again, that theme of a jaunty tune, a jaunty soundtrack for journeying into deep, deep places, because we are ecstatic, because we have that as an option. Again, something that we can pull out and go, right, the reframe, the outsider is ecstatic. Very often the thing that we bewail in our own personal circumstance, I mean, not in a huge way like, you know, death and cruelty and all, but of our own journey, you know, again, we wonder how this is perfect. And that brings us, sorry, we're rotating around here, to the moon again in Virgo. The moon in Virgo has a quintile right now, a 72-degree angle that will be exact before we you know, right now as we're talking, just moving right into place, that 72-degree angle, division of the circle by 5, 5 times 72 is 360. It is the power of irresistible eloquence, okay, and it's the moon in Virgo to Ceres, Demeter, goddess, dwarf planet, goddess of the earth herself. So we go, ah, if we have a dedicated opportunity, an opportune response, let's see, a responsible opportunity, an opportune responsibility, and any way you want to permutate and dance with those things, we go, yes. But again, it's very dedication magnetizes opportunity, going no, 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 inward magnetizes outward, very excellent. So this tidal realm. But the quintile is very, very cool. And since we're focusing on it, it becomes available to all of us to, again, put in our pockets and our magic backpacks and practice and play with. It is a communication skill that can make each one of us like a tuning fork, meaning we can have a perception and resonate it in others. So it's I love to explain this as there's many ways of, you know, trying to, you know, things we want to compost, haranguing, finger wagging, convincing, which means to conquer. Those are not so effective because, again, whatever we oppose, we strengthen, we remember that. But the quintile is about resonance, magnetizing irresistible resonance of a true perception that then hums that perception in others. So no one has to believe us. You know, they go, oh, I see that now too, direct, unmediated, no priesthood, no guru. Although we like teachers, you know, but we do want everyone equal. And the strongest perceptions, of course, are not believed, but direct, equal perception, going, I see that thing. So we have that. It also says, you know, in the power of dreams and communication, you know, the earth, Demeter, you know, Demeter, Ceres, Demeter, again, a very to and fro, down and up mythological figure. And let's keep in mind that mythic figures are metaphoric animations of intrinsic intelligence in nature. So Ceres, Demeter, also very down and up. Anybody who was anybody in the ancient world, you know, would periodically vacation in the underworld. It's a down, inward, up, whatever. And what Nora Hall would write about is the, she said the crises. I mean, she wrote wonderful books, Women's Mysteries and The Moon and the Virgin, which are great books written in the 70s or 60s even, although she is younger than I thought, but still cranking away. So we love that. She said the overvaluing of outward, the overvaluing of progress and product, and the undervaluing of inward and process will result in, you know, in crazy environmental devastation and, you know, cultural this and that and, you know, craziness of the psyche of each person that is manifest. You know, that is a microcosm of the craziness of the larger cultural world. Well, you know, she knew that in the 70s, and so did kind of many of us, but it's gotten more that way. And she was also writing very much about the power of midwinter, which is about, you know, the power of equal inward depth process. Because she says, you know, when Persephone, Proserpina, or Ceres, Demeter, or anybody goes to the underworld, it's a part of us as well. That says, you know, it leaves the earth. Creativity and eros withdraw into this period of, you know, kind of cold stasis. But that's important. You know, it's an important part of the dynamic. You know, we want to know the whole story so we don't go, oh, no, oh, futility, oh, it will always be like that. It's like, no, it pulls in. You know, how do we cooperate with that in order to go outward so that we have an equal valuing of, yeah, product, yeah, but also process, although I don't love the word process. I think of it as cheese. I often say in groups, I don't share and I don't process, meaning mandatory sharing. No, thank you. Yes, I'm allergic to everybody turn to the left and tell the person on your left your deepest secret. No. Again, it's sort of like a toxic mimic of actual intimacy or actual conversation. And it's also way too bossy. And also, you know, everybody's processing stuff. And I go, no, cheese is processed, and that's never a good thing to happen to it. So even though Blessed Norhall used the word process, overvaluing product over process, we go, yeah, fair enough. But we also say journey, the journey. Jupiter rules the journey. You know, the serendipitous, synchronous journey increasingly available as we dedicate the synchronous journey unfurls before us. Series Quintile Moon says, again, power of specific language. So that's why we do want to play with, you know, etymological language, magic mojo, power of language, just the right word, just the right thing, the small word change that has a big effect, again, like moving the one small stone out of the thing. Which is also why editing and critique and diagnosis, putting the hyphen in diagnosis, are wonderful lost arts. You know, just for the synchronous fun of it, you know, as we convene, the moon is rising in the east where I am, the East Coast. So we'll just take that as one truth. It'll be true for the West Coast, you know, 3 hours later. In the 12th house of what has been forgotten, exiled, undervalued, and is therefore ecstatic. Okay, but it's of great value. So the moon in Virgo says, well, you know, we've sort of lost the art of critique. People think of criticism as rather than as what it really is meant to be, as a diagnostic part of healing, to critique. And then editing is a wonderful, wonderful craft. You know, many of us may have had writing or, you know, friends or even grown-up professionals edit our work, and sometimes it is like a prison in which the reality police is very annoying. And sometimes when it's done right, and here it is for all of us to be able to do such things available now, it is so wonderful. It is so liberating because it is like working and going, no, that's not the word. No, that's not the word. No, that's the word. High fives. Yes. So as we kind of cumulatively, you know, gather all that is speaking to us now, we go experiment, experiment, experiment. That's the Uranus. Hold things up. Look at things from many, many different angles going, be willing to be agents in the collective, remembering that the essence of all ritual magic was to spiral into the memosphere, desirable, expanded responses then made available to all beings on this planet, you know, in that memospheric realm. And we go, oh, okay, we're gonna do that. Some power of blessings. Jupiter reminds us, you know, what is the one way of relating to the world and everything in it that is guaranteed replenishing and never depleting. And Jupiter says, blessing. You know, like, oh, wow. So again, something's always true. Times when they're even more true, we'd say right now, really, right now, Jupiter and Uranus, biggest path opener is the liberating power of story, conversation, and blessing. You know, may it go well for you and for you. And, you know, and when this, then may this, you know, and we have some good team practitioners. Again, we might put up a whole realm of experimental blessings in which, you know, see, we never want critique to stymie experimental priming of the pump. And we do want to cast into Pluto's cauldron all past non-useful cringing constraints of learned shame, going, you know, or worrying about what we look like or that everybody might perceive something terrible about us 5 seconds before we do, you know, whatever, any of those things, because we want to be mannered, yeah, I have manners, our species wants to have manners, and also be spicy and playful and liberating. So I love, you know, somebody I sometimes, you know, play with who has his own school on the West Coast, Jason and the Nines. Jason is channeling the nines or whatever. I don't know, but it's good. In looking at how he would conduct his classes, he's very, very tolerant. He part of me would be gnawing my arm off, you know, and he goes, no, that's right. We never want to reduce somebody's sense of their own possibilities. And I go, yes, that is true. There's a quirky Jornus, yes, we want to be agents of liberation, and it's got a 150-degree angle to Moon and Virgo, you know, critique as well, and they want to go together, because there's no power to, isn't everything just great, in an uninformed way. That's sort of like, you know. And that's, I think, part of the inward and outward, the descent journey. It's part of the five-act play structure. You know, act one, here we are. Act two, the journey. Act three, oops. Act four, evil. Act five, the wedding, the kiss, the redemption. The renaissance, here we go. And it's, five, like the quintile, is sacred to Venus. Venus forms a five-petaled design in the sky over 8 years. So five-act structures of storytelling, you know, five-act quintiles of eloquence. We want all parts of it. You know, one wants to earn the fifth act of redemptive blessing by fully descending into the yarginess of, And kinship of all those, you know, toiling, and as Robert Bly says, you know, all those whose boats have gone down in the storm, you know, our great ally Imani says, interesting synchronicity that coyotes are yipping in the woods near the river behind my house. Oh yes, we love that. Yes, because we're all in this conversing together. Hello, I live with your people. You know, coyotes in Massachusetts. How wonderful in the woods near the river behind Imani, great musician ally, new teammate of ours. House, yeah, everything conversing. So we do want to think of, you know, even our humble little telephonic web telecoyote thing is like, ooh, yes, we're conversing with the power of midwinter. All those creatures doing, you know, well, that we want to communicate. And I will bring in, you know, my own Stella Coyote. We've lived together 14 years. She doesn't seem to be slowing down, except we both sleep later, possibly, but otherwise she's witty and all. And again, I want to bring in, all animals are different, you know, all creatures are different. We really want, yes, a wonderful life for the children of all species, the dung beetles, the everybody. Coyotes, not sentimental. I mean, we have great love, Stella Coyote and I, but that sheer calculating vitality, the word steel, has no meaning for her. There's no shame in coyote world. You know, she's like, give me that sandwich. Give me that thing. Give me. So it's an ongoing, interesting thing. We get to borrow some qualities and go, ooh, we like the ingenuity and the wit and the playfulness. We might, according to our own customized, nature, add in, you know, that's why I like the compassionate trickster, going, a little compassion, Stella Coyote, would be good too, you know. But what coyotes do bring to our table is one can always telepathically negotiate, because people, and some people on our call have had their cats kidnapped, you know, by coyotes. I also know this too, very biblical, you know, years and years ago, and one of my animal children killed one of my animal children. We go, oh, it's a terrible thing, you know. Each creature's got its nature. But the coyote thing, and this is something for us to experiment with, is that you can always negotiate. I was thinking of this, you know, we all give up something with our animal allies, and they give up something as well. And ongoing conversation with the coyotes, Stella Coyote, part dog. Her father was a coyote, mother dog, so she's ambassador between worlds, as are we all, in a sense, especially this night. one foot in one world, one foot in the other, one foot in the underworld, one foot emerging, one foot outsider, ecstatic, one foot also, well, we're centipedes, we have hundreds of feet, you know, whatever, however you want to think about it, and you put your 50 feet in, you put your 50 feet out, there's a thought, but it's going to come back. The negotiating coyote. I know what it is. So Stella, part of her, she is a twin soul, like the Gemini planets above us now. So part of her would have liked her 60 square miles to run around. And I would say, yes, you're giving up something. I'm giving up something. You're giving that up. But here's what you get in return. You know, I'm pitching it to you. And especially now that we do have prolonged, what we can offer our animal allies and ourselves, you know, is prolonged mature safety. Because Stella now goes into deep, deep sleep. That's the only sign of age and dreaming and running and everything like that. She used to be hypervigilant, but now sometimes I'll sit down beside her while she's sleeping and then she'll go, whoa. And I go, well, here's part of the trade-off. You know, in the wild, you know, that would not be safe to sleep and dream more deeply. But here's our trade-off. You know, you gave up some of your wild-ass roaming, but in return you got longevity and safety to dream. I will watch your back. You have a safe house. You have a safe shelter. You can sleep. You can sleep. And so, you know, part of the blessing, you know, and may it be for all creatures in the hot and difficult world, the hot and cold, the hot reactive and cold winter world, you know, all creatures, may they be safe enough to sleep. May, you know, angels of protective wisdom watch all sleeping creatures' back so they can dream. You know, along these lines, I think of the prayers we want to bring forth into the world. So there are seasons within us. That's, you know, midwinter. Even if people are living with palm trees, we are at midwinter. It is this profound time, these weeks now. And again, before the story begins to go forward. And the seasons live within us. Great article I posted on Facebook. I'll try and post it for those who don't want to go on Facebook on our Trickster Training site. And for those who don't want to go on the Trickster Training site, well, we'll telepath it to you or send you the link. It was a New York Times article yesterday on the power of time and seasons. It was there's a Jupiter Gemini, actual wisdom in a perfect blend of philosophy and science spiraling out into mainstream. That's it. I would also say to any of our team, the pathway is quite open for conversational extravaganzas spiraling into mainstream. If you want to call your congressman, if you want to write a letter, if you want to stand up at a meeting, if you want to do all those things, that is all quite available. And then just with the dedication of the craft and to say, you know, let me avail myself of the opportunities magnetized by my dedication that I can be a responsible and playful and surprising and unexpected voice for collective well-being. Something like that. You know, the seasons within, you know, ancient rhythms, and I said perhaps they're more steady now than the instability of the external seasons, occasioned by our whacked out and quite rude species, may our species have manners again. Ooh, it's a strong blessing prayer, strong magnetizing, strong invitation. That's a good one to spiral forth in myriad customized, unique forms. You know, each person has a unique way of expressing all of these things. And it's true, you know, what must we die to, lest we die from? You know, dominance is an evolutionary dead end. We want to die to it, lest we die from it, and take quite a lot with us as we're doing. So I said, do all the glaciers melt, or do we melt that within us that has occasioned this catastrophe? And we go, and then, you know, before we open it up for anybody or deconvene, I do want, you know, the Trickster Headlines, metaphoric agility trumps grim reality. That's part of the mojo of now. We go, That's really good. I also highly recommend, I love Terry Pratchett's novels. I love I Shall Wear Midnight. I love it, I love it, I love it. I also love one of the ones before that called Wintersmith, which is all about seasons and humans and positive witchcraft and how humans can be, you know, things out of balance. But anyway, I love that realm. So stories, myth, reporting, blessings, prayers, short sentences. It's a great time for each one of us to dedicate and express in some way, scribbles, doodles, journals, story, poem, blessing, public speaking, private speaking, speaking to the tree, any of those things. I realize that there's a kind of relief that the long-term neighbors next to me who were quite certain I was, you know, a tricky witch. And it is also that idea of, well, their landlord told them I was. You know, how narratives can constrain us because their landlord, whom I had sued because of his terrible building, you know, and that he had said many years ago, you're my enemy because you took me to court. And I said, no, I'm the friend of your soul and therefore the enemy of your project. He's like, what in hell are you talking about, girl? But I did like that. I put that little pebble in my pocket, you know, friend of everyone's soul and therefore sometimes enemy of their project because it's not good for tyranny to get away with tyranny. But see, when there's a strong narrative, and all narratives can change, but when there's a strong narrative in the world, a story we tell about ourselves, a story we tell about other people, then synchronously, right? See, everything will support that. Let me see if I can get some small detail. Anyway, because they thought I was the neighbors thought I was a slave there because I'd taken their landlord to court because blah, 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 blah. It's true. I would find myself in that narrative. I would be wearing a crazy hat, or when they ran into me, or whatever it is, you know. And I can't grab the specifically useful detail, except to go, oh, you know, I'm in a narration that I don't want to be in exactly. So we can break that. But they've moved away, so now there's nobody there. And I realize, you know, to feel unobserved is something we want to spiral forth to everybody. Because I do like to, you know, hello trees, hello birds, hello garbage can, hello, I like to talk to everything. And because I do, you know, primarily live with animals and in an animistic way, you know, I get home and I go, hello house, you know, so I'm happy to not worry that somebody's interpreting that as a, you know, institutionalizable kind of a thing. I have more freedom, and so we go, more freedom for everybody, more freedom for all of us to be the intrinsic conversational animus that we are. Hello, piece of paper, hello, pen. And it says, whatever we talk to, it will talk back. So we again compost inhibiting non-useful shame in our desire to cavort. And see, now I just want to come back to the quintile, because it says, whatever we do that really is a blessing from our heart, it will liberate others to do that as well, going, yes, how wonderful. And that, you know, we do want everybody to feel free and to feel inspired to, you know, file scouting reports going, and here's a circumstance that changed, and here's this thing, or here's this thing that didn't go so well, you know. So we'll play with those things. But before we deconvene, yes, I do want us also... metaphoric agility trumps grim reality. You know, so when anyone says, oh, looks like, yes, fill in bad thing is on the table. XL pipeline, you know, war with, fill in the blank. We respond, well, if it's on the table, let's put other stuff on the table. Lemon meringue pie and pomegranate juice and sane reverent smoothies. Here's the moon in Virgo, which again, no rules, no homework, just guidelines and encouragement. But moon in Virgo are weak, as Jupiter is stationing, says, small things, big effect. Moon in Virgo, ruler of ritual magic, good to set up little altars. You know, it doesn't have to, it's not a homeworky thing. You know, it's probably something that we all do. It just, Saturn chimes in and says, just adding dedication to anything we do makes it a mojo energy replenishing blessing. Costs us nothing, gives us everything. So by sweeping the house, you go, on behalf of all creatures, we're sweeping out whatever we don't need in midwinter cleaning. Fum, 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 fum. By the placing of this vase of flowers, may it be that conversational opportunities fill my house and the world. What, you know, we just want to, it's not, it's like a kind of Middle Eastern dancing. It's, there is some technique, of course, but there's also great permission, just relaxing into it, going, yes, it is intrinsic for all of us, says the chart of now, to, you know, converse with everything. Hello, tree, cloud, crows, hello. I find a great response, increasing response, you know, and again, negotiating. I give you this, how about this, you know. And I do want to, you know, keep animating conversational value from my friend Robinette Kennedy when she said the modern world's understanding of worship is so degraded. Okay, here's a positive Moon Virgo critique. You know, she said it's very, whatever people think worship is in the modern world, it's degraded very, I mean, her version was, you know, you are great, I am nothing, now give me this thing. Or something like that. She said, in ancient, you know, hunter-gatherer, but also Mediterranean society, the relationship, okay, between inward, outward, manifest, and kind of mojo, woo, on stage, backstage, the material world, the non-material world, however we want to, and we want more language, we want more play with this too, however each one of us refers to these things, whatever metaphor we use to address big mystery, you know. But she said there was great reverence and respect between the worlds, but it was much more collaborative, she said, that the invisible seeks incarnation into the material world as much as we seek communion with it. Now, I love this. I chew on this. I work this. I play with this all the time. It's one of the pebbles I carry in my pocket to pull out. But especially now, it really, really, really works. You know, we have Jupiter inward, downward, ready to go upward and forward. Ah, the story. At the same time that Saturn is forward, getting ready to go inward and downward. It's a do-si-do. It's a do-si-do. So we do love this, this realm of, you know, dedicated mojo and whatever the next thing I was going to say that as seems to have left my mind, but possibly will come back if anybody knows what I was thinking or about to say. That's welcome too. So, wait, maybe it'll come back. Maybe it'll come back. Inward, outward. This wasn't exactly it. It's more kind of repeating it. That you know, any conversation, inward, outward, will garner a response, and it is appropriate to kind of be willing to cut deals, going, okay, you spiritual thing, there we go. No, that's a long email from somebody. No. Ah, there we go. Okay, sheep are at the gate, ready to cavort. That's right. Okay, that's good. Okay, before we deconvene, would anyone like to bring forth a conundrum or a blessing or a quandary or a complaint or a critique or a diagnosis or a blessing or anything? Would be fine. Star 7. Or not. There we have it. Okay.
Caroline?
Yes.
It's McCarty. Was the thing that you wanted to talk about that the things that are invisible that want to come visible? Was that what you were?
That is, I think I sort of covered that. There was some next step from that thing, but do you have something to
No, it's just my best guess about where you might have been headed.
Well, you know, it is a perfect time of commerce between worlds. Our, you know, that our inward dedication, inward invisible, Saturn Scorpio, inward invisible dedication Saturn Scorpio, the invisible world of power, our inward dedication magnetizes all kinds of backstage support. It is a way, it is a form of invitation, that anything that we dedicate becomes a magnetized invitation for invisible power to enter into the stage of play. So yes, close enough. Thank you. That is along the lines I wanted to kind of underline, stress, make available. Anybody want to come up in their hearts or to give either invisibly now, you know, all of us in our heads, we're moving the heat from our heads down to our hearts, yes, you know, so our heads are cool-headed and our hearts are warm and responsive, so any kind of blessing we want to hold in our hearts, you know, and then spiral forth to magnetize the path opening for each one of us individually, you know, whatever would be fun to have more of so that we could more better dree our weird, play our role in destiny, you know, may each one of us, by the power of our inward dedication, be danced into place where we can do the most good and have the most fun. That would be our thing. So anybody who wants to say a blessing is welcome, and if not, hold one, a blessing, even an inchoate yearning will do, and we're going to, you know, unmute everyone so that we can all yip with the coyotes and cahoot with the coyotes in, you know, in the woods, by the river, and wherever they are, and all wild creatures. Okay. And spiral things out. We have a coyote for us. Hello?
Yip, yip.
Yip, yip. Richard, do we have any coyote for us?
Well, we should. I'm not sure why they're not coming through. I can hear them. There we go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.